You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Well, the story that has been dominating headlines today being ARTO and the implementation of ARTO, including the driver license points demerit system that the government intended to police driver behavior, as well as reduce road fatalities. Well, that has been declared invalid and unconstitutional, this being another landmark judgment against the state in recent history. But for more on the story, we do have the CEO of the Organization for Undoing Tax Abuse, Altus, Wayne Duvenage, who did take the government to court in order to have the ARTO Act removed initially. Wayne, thanks so much for your time. Just explain exactly what this judgment does mean for motorists.
Okay, thanks. What it does is it puts the whole ARTO plans, stops it in its tracks, and it sends government back to the drawing board. But we don't know how they're going to be able to fix it, because essentially what's happened here is that the national government, through the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, RTIA, is usurping the executive powers of local government. And they're not allowed to do that. The Constitution is very clear there. The Traffic Fines Administration and Management thereof is run by municipalities and metros and not by national competence. So they can't do it. They cannot do it in the way they've been trying to do it. And hopefully this time around they will engage with civil society, because we've been pointing this out to them for some time. They refuse to listen. We participated in all their so-called tick box public engagement sessions, but they didn't even want to hear our input there. So we unfortunately had to resort to the courts to stop them in their tracks.
Tell me something, just as a recap. Had the demerit system already been operational? Had motorists already been affected by it?
No, not at all. And this is another element of the ARTO system. It's administratively unworkable. And we pointed this out, and they've been trying to launch ARTO, by the way, for a number of years. Last year, they tried to get close to it, and they said they're going to launch in July. And lo and behold, we sensed the minister would come out, because they weren't ready to announce that they're going to delay it and they're going to introduce it in four phases. The demerit point system was only going to come in later this year. Well, let's put a paid stop to that now. I just must add, we're not opposed to good legislation that manages road safety and deals with the road carnage and people that are unlicensed and unroadworthy vehicles. I think we need to tackle that, but we need to do it in a way that involves visible policing and doing their jobs properly. What this government often does, it thinks that if it can legislate its way to manage certain processes, then everything falls into place. And that's not how you run a country. And then we saw that with e-tolls as well. It's collapsed. It's not workable. And all we want is for government to engage with civil society so we can together find the right solutions. A demerit point system works in some countries, but it works in those countries where they have good administration systems. The National Vehicle Registry, our eNATIS system, for instance, in those countries works very well. In South Africa, it's very poor. It's very unreliable, as is the post office. You need a good postal system. So in the environment that they're trying to force a demerit point system in, it's not going to work.
As you mentioned, it's back to the drawing board now, and you did mention that you had engaged previously in the number of rallies or events that the government had put together prior, engaging civil society, although you were not listened to. But what are some of those proposals that you had made or suggested that could improve driver behavior or even reduce fatalities that were previously ignored by the department?
Well, I think what we were trying to do is tell them to stop going ahead with a failed administrative system. That was the first start. And then the second part thereof, which we didn't even get to, was to say, how do we really meaningfully tackle road carnage and fatalities? Government launched, the Department of Transport launched in 2010. This is over, 12 years now. They're a decade of road safety. Nothing happened. The road safety fatalities didn't change. I think it was sitting at around 15,000 a year. And unless the government introduces meaningful processes, and again, visible policing is a big one, they're not going to address it. They're not going to address it by putting up cameras and getting as many fines as they can, because it becomes a money-making issue. And we see it in the budgets of many towns. We've even heard in places like Waterval-Boven where they're running low on money, so they put an extra camera trap up on the freeway. That's the mentality we have around traffic fines instead of dealing with the issues. South Africa is one of those countries where I think you could probably drive for the rest of your life in an unroadworthy car with a false license plate and a no driver's license and probably get away with it. And if you were ever caught, I'm not suggesting for a moment that people do this, but you could probably bribe your way out of it because the traffic police are so corrupt in this country. So that's the indictment that we have. That's a serious matter we've got to address.
No, certainly agreed. Just following today's judgment, have you heard from the Department of Transport?
No, not at all. We've written to them on a number of occasions. This is a department that I think it's got its head in the sand. It's very arrogant. Right from the minister down, they believe that they are the authorities and they have the right to introduce law. And when we write to them and when we try and engage, and we've tried on a number of things. The International Air Services Licensing Council has not been in place of Corate for the last 9 months. The whole driver's license debacle, we've got ideas to help them fix that. It's just the list goes on and types of things, as well as R2 and ETOLs that we really need to engage with them on. And they just ignore us. So I'm afraid, you know, we have to go to the courts to get them to start listening. Let's see if they'll respond this time.
Because I was going to ask that next. The Transport Minister's team has been quoted as saying that they are presently studying the judgment. I suppose there is room for them to appeal. And what happens if they do? What next for you?
Well, they can appeal, but the appeal has to go to the Constitutional Court. This is a constitutional matter. It's been ruled as such, and we filed the papers to the Constitutional Court, which is part of the process. So they can appeal. I don't know if it's going to help them. If they do, then again, it's just their knee-jerk reaction to just appeal everything they can because they can use taxpayers' money to do so. I think if they read that judgment and read it properly, they'll see that they've got a slim chance. In fact, this case was set down for 2 days in October in court, and it was all over before lunch on the first day, where our senior counsel really tore into them and exposed how bad this law was, and that's what was read out in the judgment today.
All right. We'll leave it there for now as we watch how this story develops. But Wayne, thanks so much for your time. Wayne Duvenage, the CEO at Outer.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.